Thank you all. You got your Bibles tonight? Amen. We have been blessed, and what a great restore-thon. Been blessed having the Morrisons here. Amen. And I'll just be, you know, talking about being real. Amen. Right after the service, teenagers up here, and they thought it was so weird that we wanted them to stay and shake hands with everybody. And but two or three of them said, "Preacher, where do I get that paper so I can get baptized? Where's that paper at so I can get my parents to sign so I can get baptized?" Listen, it's real when a bus kid, after they get saved, amen, any kid, after being an auditorium coming by and shaking hands with them, says, I don't want to just stop here. I want to take the next step. And I need that piece of paper to do it. Amen. Let me encourage you tonight, amen, to thank God for all that he's done. We've had a great weekend, but it's not over yet. There's more. Amen. Amen. Tyler, you come on. We got one of our own. Amen. Pastor always called this clipping coupons, and it's my turn to clip some coupons tonight. So you take your Bibles, open them up. Amen. This is one of our young men that was trained here in our college, and he's going to preach to us tonight. You preach to us, brother.
Thank you, sir. Amen. You're grabbing your Bibles with me. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I tell you, it's been a privilege already to be here so much. We had the weekend to get away. Thank you so much for letting us come be with you. Man, you guys look scared tonight. I came up here. Let's be honest with you. I've had opportunities to preach a little bit more. I think my big thing is I like to be transparent, and I came up here. You guys got a smile. I'm just kidding. You look good. Man, I tell you, I love Landmark Baptist Church. I was talking to my wife today, and we had the opportunity to come down for the weekend. It fell just on Restore-a-thon. And man, what an encouragement it's been to just see the Lord continue to bless, and what an encouragement it's been just to be able to just be here and see the souls get saved. I was able to go on bus route this afternoon, and some of the young ladies that made decisions were on there. I was able to just talk with them and get to see them and get to see Brother Dylan, their bus captain, just be so excited about that, and they're doing such a good job. Can I tell you, I love Landmark Baptist Church. Man, it is so good just to see God's hand move and see consistency and just see God do that. Can I tell you, I am so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for a place that I can go and I know what I'm going to get. But can I tell you, just because the name of this church is Landmark Baptist Church does not mean that we are going to stay by the stuff. We talked about it being sticking with the stuff and loving the Lord, how we're supposed to be. Can I tell you, it's because of the church being a group of believers and standing upon God's word. Can I tell you, God has a great church here, and God has been blessing, and God has been working. But can I tell you, when God is at work, the devil is too. Can I tell you, he would love to get in after Restore-a-thon this week, and he would love to oppose this. Can I tell you, we live in a world nowadays that the world, when they look at Landmark Baptist Church and they see young people getting saved and young people standing up here in a church gathering around them and shaking their hand, the devil doesn't want that to go on. Can I tell you, he sees that and he says, that's not okay. I'm not okay with that. And if we're naive to the fact that we're in a battle, he'll get us. He'll get us on some things. Church, I know this is a great church. And this afternoon and this weekend, as I've been praying about this, I said, God, why would you have me preach this here? Lord, I don't know if this is what you want. And God just directs me that way. I just want to encourage you today. In 1 Samuel, here's what we see. We see a battle here. We see God's people, and they're opposed by the Philistines. And we see God's people because of one man that stood up. They hold a line. Let's look in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Let's read in verse number 21. It says, "For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran unto the army and came and saluted his brethren. And when he had talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he coming up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this matter, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, the eldest son, heard when he had spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why comest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left thy few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou might see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Can we pray? Dear Father, Lord, we love you. God, I am so thankful for your word. Lord, I'm so thankful that we can stand at this church and at many churches just alike, Lord, any church, Lord, we can stand upon your word, Lord, and we can have a firm foundation. Lord, I do believe we live in a world now that is opposing that. God, I believe they don't want us to live for you, Lord, that they're offended by your word. Lord, I pray you help us stay true to your stuff. Lord, I pray you just encourage us and just challenge us to do so much the more. Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray you just be with my nerves. Lord, I pray you hide me behind your cross. Lord, I don't want to get up here and preach my opinions. Lord, I want to be used of you, and I pray that you'll do that. We love you, Lord. I pray that you get the honor and glory out of this, Lord, and I ask it in your name. Amen. Can I tell you, God is so good to us. Man, we can look at this battle, and we can look at the Philistines, and they have drawn a line in the sand. And I begin to think when I picture this battle, and I have a great big imagination. Sometimes my wife cracks up. I picture the armies of God on one side, and I picture the armies of the Philistines on one side, and I picture a line in the sand. And I picture David walking up and talking to people and saying, hey, is there not a cause that we should stand for God? Can I tell you, when we take a stand for God, the devil opposes this. When God blesses something, the devil tries to oppose that. Can I tell you, you know it. Can I tell you, God blessed me about 2.5 years ago that I married a beautiful wife. Man, I love my wife. I have a great helpmate. But can I tell you, when you get something good, sometimes there's some opposition or some oppression. Okay, we call them mother-in-laws. All right, I'm just kidding. Not me. All right, not me, because I love my mother-in-law and I have a great mother-in-law. And I'm checking for this Kevlar to make sure my father-in-law doesn't get me real quick. So, and I'm not gonna look over there. Okay, but truly, when we do look at that and we look at the words, anything that God has done and God has looked and God has stayed true by the stuff. Can I tell you, there's some oppression. The more we look at Bible colleges, can I tell you, I'm up in a part of Georgia where a lot of people, they say, man, I went to this college, and I remember the heydays of this college, and I remember when we used to go here, and we ran buses, and we did this, and we were seeing people get saved. And those colleges aren't around anymore. Those churches aren't around anymore. Why is that? If they were churches that stood by the stuff, people that said, we believe God's word, and we have a sure foundation, why does that happen? Can I tell you, because although we know we're sure, we forget we're in a battle. We forget that someone's there to oppress us. Can I tell you, if we look in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse number 1, it says, Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Sinnoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shechem and Achan in Ephraim. It says in the middle of that, it says, which belongeth to Judah. Can I tell you, the Philistines here, they wanted what God's people had. Can I tell you, the world wants what we have. The world wants our church. The world wants our standards. Can I tell you, we had a great group of young people. We had to move seats today, and we didn't know where we were going to sit. And we can say, Brother Tyler, I was displaced this morning. I didn't get sit in my section. Get over it, okay? We had a section of young men over here and a section of young women over here. What an encouragement that is. But can I tell you, when the devil sees that, he wants that. You don't think God wants your young people watch the news. You don't think God wants your young people look at the legislation on what they're trying to pass and what they're teaching in schools. Can I tell you, it's important that we open our eyes and say, you know what? I know we're in a battle, and I know that the devil is want them. We begin to look, turn over to Romans chapter number 12, and you know this verse, and it's very, very, very familiar. But can I tell you, Satan, man, he's clever. He knows what he's doing. Can I tell you, in Romans chapter number 12, right in the beginning, in verse number 1 and verse number 2, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can I tell you, the devil knows that he might not be able to get in and tear down our church when we no longer have a church anymore. But the devil wants our church to become like the world. Can I tell you, we see time and time again that we go into churches when we're traveling or with you're traveling, you go into a church and it's a church and you go in there and you can't recognize what it is. Can I tell you, I don't mean this in a shot, and I promise I'm not trying to step on your toes, but there's places that have been as big as Landmark Baptist Church that have stood by God's word, that have said the same thing and said, we're never going to change and we're never going to give up on God's word and we're never going to abandon the King James Bible, that has completely turned face, and they're different. Can I tell you, if we're not careful, that'll be us. Okay? Maybe not as a church as a whole, but as a family, as an individual. Can I tell you, the devil wants you to change. Turn back over to 1 Samuel. Put your bookmark in there. We're going to be going back and forth. So here's what I want to do tonight. I want to look at this battle, and I want to take some points out of this and kind of apply it, and we'll be running the scripture tonight. But look in verse number 23 of 1 Samuel chapter number 17 and verse number 23. This is David. David's coming up on this battle. I tell you, this is one of my favorite passages of scripture. I just love it. I love being able to look at David here and look at everything he does. And it says in verse number 23, and it says, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Can I tell you, you know this, but the world has a champion. The world has stood up and it's in opposition now more than ever because we have those smart devices that the world has a champion, and whether that be the internet or whether that be someone else that stands up and they want to oppose. Can I tell you, I begin to picture this giant and he's standing in the valley and he's walking around and he's talking and he's loud and boisterous. And if you look in verse number 8, it says there in verse number 8, it says, and he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out and set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. And if he's able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, you shall be our servants and serve us. Can I tell you, the sad truth is as we look at that, we see the champion and he's saying, hey, I'm a Philistine. You should be opposing me. Let me make sure that we're clear on this and no one twists, no one gets confused on what I'm saying. Our goal as a church and as Christians is to reach the lost world. That we're supposed to go out, although it's a battle, we're supposed to go out in love and be able to go out into the world and tell people of Jesus Christ and how he loves them and bring them in, and they are supposed to get saved and we're supposed to do the Great Commission. But at the same time, as a church and as Christians, we have to realize that the devil is right at the back of our heels, that he wants us to stumble. The Goliath is out there, and I picture him in the valley, and I picture him saying, aren't you Israel? Shouldn't you come down, and shouldn't you be fighting me? Are you just going to let it go on? Can I mock your God? Man, I begin to think about that. I think there's no way as a Christians we would let that go on. There's no way as a Christian we'd let someone come in front of our people and in front of everything going on and mock God. Can I tell you, there's people who do it in our churches nowadays. Okay? I'm not trying to be mean, but there's people that call themselves Christians that make a mock of God's word. And it just goes on. Can I tell you, you ought to be careful who you listen to preach, okay, on the internet. Because some of the greatest people that oppose God's word are people that call themselves preachers. You ought to be careful who you listen to. Can I tell you, this champion was loud. He was outspoken. Can I tell you, the world's not okay with just us keeping to ourselves. The world's not okay with Landmark Baptist Church or with your family just keeping to yourself and saying, I'm going to serve God. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to do right. He's not okay with that. Can I tell you, when you serve God, you ought to face some opposition. He ought to be able to look at you and say, I don't want that to go on. I heard this as a teenager, and my youth pastor, who was sitting behind me, okay, said sometimes when God has something, God has the biggest thing for you, the devil's trying the hardest when God has something big for you right around the corner. Can I tell you, probably last week for some of you was a week of defeat. Before Restore-a-thon ever happened, you said, Brother Tyler, I got discouraged. I got down. There were circumstances going on. And I miss that blessing. Pastor Parsons has been up talking about how we had revival on the air, and I miss that because God got in there. Because the devil got in there, and I didn't have my eyes on God.
Christian, can I tell you to be careful about that? You ought to be able to recognize that and see that. Turn over to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 7. It says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We see this letter written right here. There is people that would trouble us and people that are going to do that. Can I tell you, the world has its champion. And we as a church and we as Christians, we have our champion, and it's Christ. We know that the battle is won. And in the end, we can look and say, they have their champion, and they might be loud, but our battle is won. And we can sing victory in Jesus, and that is correct. And we can trust in God, and we can praise God for that. But if we look in America, I still believe we live on the greatest country on earth. But it would not have stayed that way had men not stood up and stood in that gap. It would not have stayed that way if soldiers weren't willing to say, hey, I will serve my country. Hey, I will go. Can I tell you, young man, young lady, we might have the victory and we'll never lose that victory, but the devil can take something from us if we decide not to stand. If we decide that we're not going to stand up and stand in that gap there. Can I tell you, look, turn back to 1 Samuel chapter number 7. I hope you have it marked. And look in verse number 24. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. You know, I have read past that verse a few times and reading this passage of scripture. It says, and all the men of Israel, when they had saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. They realized that there was a problem. They realized that someone was down there making a fool of God. They realized that someone was there and they were opposing God. That someone had got in and that they were messing things up. And they didn't stand for that. Can I tell you, the more I think of this, the more I think, where was Saul? He's the king. They talk about Saul, and Saul was head and shoulders above the rest of the men. He was a big guy. He was a warrior. He was their leader. Where was Saul? He didn't stand. He looked down and he said, I'm not going to do that. God send someone else. Okay, and David showed up and David fulfilled this, but there was a time period. There was some days there that Saul just sat around. And that man and Goliath stood there and he mocked God and he mocked God and he cursed God. Turn back to Galatians. I should have had you to hold your fingers there in Galatians chapter number 1. We read verse number 7. I want to look at verse number 6. Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. It says, I'll let you get there. Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Can I tell you, Christian, you know this, but sometimes we ignore this fact. There is churches left or right that are changing. There is Christians left and right that are saying, I'm not going to go to this church anymore because it's too old-fashioned. It's too by the book. I'm not comfortable there anymore. And they change and they oppose. Can I tell you, I believe wholeheartedly when we look at Saul, and I know Saul had all, God had already taken his hand off Saul by this point. But that's because Saul, okay, I was reading that passage of scripture and I don't have it marked, but that's because Saul disobeyed God because he feared more what men were going to say of him, more what his people were going to say of him than what God told him to do, than what the man of God had told him to do. Men, can I ask you a question? We look at the story and we can say, where is Saul in this? And why didn't Saul stand up and say, we have an army. We're God's chosen people. We're not going to let that man mock our God. We're not going to let that man oppose our God. Saul didn't do that. And the army began to falter. Can I tell you, husband, father, there's some things that if you don't stand up and you don't begin to oppose and say, I'm not going to let that in my home, I'm not going to let that in front of my kids, somebody's going to get in. I just want to tell you nowadays, I know we talk about equal and we want to lead together, and that's biblical. But can I tell you, husband, you are the head of your home. And you are to protect what comes in that door of your home. You are to protect what goes into the heart of your child. Can I tell you, the devil wants that. Look with me in the battle, and we'll get into the heart of this. In verse number 25, it says, and the men of Israel said, in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, in verse number 25, it says, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and what shall be done? What shall be done that the man who killeth? What shall be done that the man who killeth him? The king will enrich him, and with great riches will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. Can I tell you, the battle is still the same. We are still fighting against the devil. He's still opposing us. But can I tell you, the King of Kings is still the same. David is coming up and he's asking the people, hey, what is the king going to do for the man who stands for God? And he says, the king will enrich him. Can I tell you, Christian, when you stand for God, he's going to enrich you. He's going to bless you. Grab your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter number 31. Psalms chapter number 31, look in verse number 23. I think one of the reasons, I said when I came up here, I love Landmark Baptist Church, and I love how Landmark Baptist Church has stood on God's word. I love how you're going to know what you get at Landmark Baptist Church. And the more we go and the more we look at Restore-a-thon and we look at how good God was, why was God like that? Can I tell you? Because God blesses faithfulness. Amen. And this has been a faithful people and a faithful pastor that has stood by God's word. Can I tell you, God still blesses faithfulness in Psalms chapter number 31. Look in verse number 23 and 24. It says, I love the Lord, all ye servants, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plenteth, rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that call upon the Lord. Can I tell you, God is going to bless your faithfulness. I wrote down here in the title of this, and I didn't even give it to you, is there a cause to hold a line? Is there truly a cause in the day and age that we live in to say, you know what? I'm not going to give in to the world. I'm not going to give in to my flesh. I'm going to stand for God. And I'm going to stand right. I believe there is. And I believe God will bless that. You've got your finger in there. Look over at Psalms. We're in Psalms right now. Look in verse number 31 while we're right here. In verse number 30. That's the verse I just read to you. I'm just kidding. Turn back over to 1 Samuel. I was just making sure you were ready. Amen. I was making sure I was ready and I could read. Okay. I didn't handwrite this. Dr. Pitt says if I handwrite stuff, I can't read it. Amen. But can I tell you, when we look at battle and we look at war, the more we look at things and we look at that, we say, man, that was a tragedy. People had to die. There were some casualties in that. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, look in verse number 28. It says, and Elblam, his oldest brother, heard when he spake to the men, and Elam's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left a few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou might see battle. The sad truth is that a lot of Christians, just like this brother, he stood up and he was more focused on the opposition. So much that he was focused on the opposition that he said, David, why are you here? David, why are you doing this? David, there's no point for you here. David, you're only here so that you can see the battle. Can I tell you, when we get so far and we step away from God and when the opposition gets to us, like his brother here, we begin to think, God can't do that anymore. We begin to think, and I love this, and I'm not saying anything about anybody, and praise the Lord for old preachers. We have a lot of them around us in Georgia where we're at. And we're always looking and we're always talking and they always want to share. And it is a good thing to bask in what God has done. Man, I remember when we had revival back in the day. I remember when God was moving and we were doing this. Can I tell you, that is great and that is good. But we know Jesus Christ is coming back. But just because he's coming back doesn't mean that God can't give us revival now. In our own lives, in our own churches. Can I tell you, as we begin to look at that, the sad truth is that a lot of Christians, they don't do it anymore because they don't think it's going to work. Because they don't think God moves like that anymore. Turn over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. And look in verse number 25 at Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 10 doesn't have 25 verses there. Look at it here. Look in, no, that's why. But I'm in the wrong book. Man, Hebrews chapter number 10. I got ahead of my notes. My eyes are all mixed up. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. It says, not forsake on the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can I tell you, God still wants to have a great work. God still wants to bless. But now can I ask you a question? Who or what has changed? We know we're in a battle. We know the devil has opposed us. We know we live in a different age than what we did 20, 40 years ago. The world is different. But what has changed? God hasn't changed. God is unchangeable. God is still the same. I love that illustration. They talk about God in a pickup truck, or that husband and a wife in a pickup truck, and the wife looks over and looks at her husband and says, I feel like we used to be closer. And he says, I have not moved. I'm in the same seat. You just moved over there. Can I tell you, God is unchanged. But the world is unstable. It is constantly changing, and we don't know what's going to go on. And we can sit here and we can harp about the world, and we can say, oh, we're oppressed, and the devil wants this, and the devil wants that. But the sad truth is, and why many, many of our churches and many of our personal lives as Christians are like the children of Israel here, is because God is unchangeable. The world is unstable. But as for far too long as Christians, we've been undecided. That in this area, we're gonna be buying stuff. But when we're outside of this place, we're going to do what we want. When we're outside of this place, we have liberty and we have grace. Can I tell you, that is true. And you can go out and you can live your life. And then on Sunday morning, you can put your suit coat on and you can tie your tie and do good and serve God. And then on Monday, just go do what you want. Can I tell you, that affects. There was a statistic that went around. I have five young people. You five young people, come stand up here real quick. This went around a Southern Baptist church, and this came out a few years ago. From the ages of 18, you guys just stand in front of the pulpit, face that way. From the ages of 18 to 25, do you know the statistic? And this is a Southern Baptist statistic, okay? And I'll get to that in just a second. One in five young people will stop going to church and never go again. You four that are on the right of Ben, go sit down. One in five young people will get out of church, will not go back to church again. Can I tell you, that's a Southern Baptist statistic. Ben, you can sit down. But I spent some time at Landmark, and I've spent some time at other churches. That means if there's 100 teenagers, only 20 of them grow up to be in church. I don't mean to be mean about that, but I think if you were to ask Brother James, and if you were to truly look at the numbers, that's about right. That a large percentage of our young people that come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that get saved, they get out of church. Church, can I ask you, is there a reason that we should hold a line, that we should stick by God's word, that we should stay true to His stuff? I think that's a reason. Can I tell you, we should stand on God's word not because of the past. Yes, to honor the past. Yes, to honor our pastor. But we should stand on God's word for the next generation. Can I tell you, for far too long, I'm going to give you three reasons here, and I'm going to shut up and I'm going to be gone. For far too long, our young people have seen our churches or our group of Christians, and they've seen parents be inconsistent. Can I tell you, It was said when we were in college, and one of our professors said it. It said, young people don't care how much you know before they know how much you care. And I begin to think about that, and as a personal testament, I grew up as a buskin. I begin to think of, why did I get in church? Why did I decide to follow God? It was because someone truly cared about me. Can I tell you, for far too long, our young people have seen us as Christians, as adults, okay? Let me just tell you, as Bible college students, because I was one of them, straddle a line. That I'm consistent when people are watching me. But when people aren't around, I'm inconsistent. Can I tell you, when I look back at my Bible college days, I'm ashamed of the Christian I was. Man, I could serve the Lord and God would bless because of faithfulness. But man, in my personal life, I was so far from God. Can I tell you, that affects our young people. But the sad truth is, many of our young people see it in our homes. That they see a parent that's sold out for God at church. They see a parent on Sunday morning that they're faithful and they're doing good and they're serving God. But when they get home, it's by the wayside. Until they get a call. Can I tell you the reason why that statistic, and we don't like that, we don't like to look at that, the reason why it's like that is because for far too long, we've been undecided. We're by it. We're good, but not in this area. Can I tell you another reason we should stay consistent is because falling hurts. Turn over to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. And you know this story in Luke chapter number 15. Look in verse number 10 of Luke chapter number 15. You know the story of the prodigal. But I love this story, and I'm not going to take time to read it. If you look at the two parables that are before that, there's the parable of the lost sheep about how the shepherd goes out because that one is important to him. And he goes out and he finds that sheep. And then you see the parable of the lost silver about how a lady, she lost one piece of silver and she swept the whole house because she wanted to find it. And as you begin to look at that, you see God repeats himself there. He gives a parable about the lost sheep. And then he says, hey, let me make sure you get this. Let me tell you this a different way. And gives the parable of the lost silver. And then we hear the story of the prodigal. I begin to imagine that the reason why those two things are there is because God wants us to get the heart to realize that that one person is important. In verse number 10, it says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Can I tell you a reason why we as Christians should stay the same and why we should hold to God's word? It's because falling hurts. And we can do everything in our power to help our young people to stay in their church, to help people that come get saved to stay in church. But if we're honest, they've got to make that decision too, and some of those people are going to fall. Some of those are not going to come. The most heartbreaking thing about the bus ministry is that you can invest in somebody, that you can invest in a young person, and you can love on them, and you can invest in their life, and then all of a sudden they move away and they're gone. And that's sad. But it happens with our young people that we invest in them and we invest in them and then, oh, I'm college age now. God has a different plan for my life and I'm not going to be in church anymore. And we say they've grown up, but truly sometimes they walk away from God. Can I tell you what I love about the prodigal here and what I love about the prodigal's dad? Look in verse number 20. It says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on him, fell on his neck and kissed him. We know people are going to fall. Not everyone's always going to stay in church. But you know what? That prodigal, when he came to his senses, he fell, he was hurt, he was dirty, he was away from God. But he knew where he could go. He knew there was consistency at home. He knew that that place had stood by God's word. That was truly God's word. May that always be said of us as Christians, that we are by God's word. But that's not the only thing we see in this verse. It says, and when he arose and came unto his father, the prodigal was on his way back. It says, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him. Do you know what he was doing? He was looking. I picture him sitting on the porch in a swing, sipping coffee, doing whatever he does. And he was looking for that prodigal to come home. The sad truth is that I don't know you, but many of you in here can relate to this story because you have a prodigal, because you know one. Can I tell you, there's a reason to hold a line, because one day that prodigal might come to his senses. He might start walking down that road. And he's going to feel uncomfortable to come back. But man, with a mom and a dad is looking over the porch saying, I see him. I've been praying for you. I love you. Can I tell you, he doesn't even know this story. But I left Bible college for about a year. And to be honest, it was probably the darkest 8 months of my life. And I ran from God. And I ran from God. Man, I was so not ready, and I didn't want to come back. And I had prayed, and I had laid something before the Lord saying, God, if you do this, I'll go back. God, if you do this, and it was obscene things. And God did it. And then I said, God, I can't go back. I don't have a way to the airport. I had a church member call me and say, Brother Tyler, I can't sleep. And God put you on my heart. Do you need something? And I said, why are you calling me? It is 8 o'clock. It is 10 o'clock at night. And you have a family. Why are you calling me? He said, are you going back to Bible college? And I said, yeah, but I don't have a ride. And he said, I'm on my way. I'm going to come get you. And he took me to the airport. And I got on that plane. But when I got off the plane, Dr. Bradley was waiting there. And he picked me up from the airport. And he said, Brother Tyler, it's so good to see you. We've been praying for you since you've been gone. And can I tell you, I made a decision in my heart right then. God, I don't want to run from you. These people love me. But the sad truth is that sometimes when someone walks away, we get mad. The sad truth is that many people sit in a good church just like this today, and you are that prodigal. And that you've stepped away. And you said, but there's this hurt. But there's this pain. But there's this opposition on why I can't go back, why I can't be close to God the way I used to. Can I tell you, I said it's so good to see that father looking over the banner and saying that prodigal's coming home. Can I tell you, God's doing the same thing? Looking and saying, that person's coming home. Church, I said, is there a cause to hold a line? I think there is. For the next generation, for the people who have left, and for our Savior. Can I ask you today, where are you at with that? We can't just say it's going to stay the same because of who we are. With heads bowed and eyes closed, can we stand to our feet? Dearly Father, Lord, I love you. God, I'm so thankful for you, Lord. I'm so thankful for the opportunity it is to serve you. Lord, I just pray that you just help us. God, I know this is a good church. God, this is a church that I believe is by your book. Lord, but we won't stay that way, Lord, if we don't stay in your book. Lord, if we don't trust you. God, I know there's some people that might be in here today, Lord, that aren't saved. Maybe they're here and they say, I don't know for sure if I was to die now. I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. People got saved this morning. They can get saved today. Maybe you're in here today and you say, Brother Tyler, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that if I was to die right now, that I would go to heaven. Can I tell you, you have a heavenly father that's looking over the porch saying, I love you so much that I died for you. Would you just come forward? Pastor Parsons is down there, and I'm going to turn over to him, but he would love to hug you. He would love to talk to you and tell you how you can know for sure you're saved. Oh.